minister with us, or to us, and his family is also going to come and minister to us in song. But before he does, I'd like to share a little bit about him. He's a former DCAP for the state of Nebraska. He's also a former Secretary of Youth. And if you know anything about missions work, you know that there's quite a process that you have to go through in order to become approved, and it makes quite a demand on your life. I know that Brother Demand has to have a call of God in order to be approved by the Assembly of God Missions Department, being in the situation that he's in. I also understand that a man in his position really must have had a call of God in order to make a move. So I just really ask that each of you would just open your hearts to him and allow him and his family to minister to you.
Thanks, Steve. Steve, did I hear Steve say that it's unfortunate that Jimmy Swaggart is coming to town? Is that what he said? Oh, no, he said it's unfortunate that CMF service will not be held, right? And that Jimmy Swaggart will not be here. I'll tell Jimmy because I'm from Baton Rouge. Hey, it's good to be in CBC. Every guy who comes to speak to you says, oh, back in the good old days I was here. I met the girl of my life here. That's where the North and the South met. Joyce was an Omaha girl. I was a Louisiana boy. And I decided I'd surrender. I'd like for you to meet Joyce and our daughter Joy, who are with me tonight. We have a son, Doug, who's on a geology trip with the Evangel College somewhere. And we have a daughter, Jennifer, who's trick-or-treating. But I'd like for Joy and Joyce to come. At this time, we're going to sing to you. Jerry Spain told me, sing. No, it was Joy that said, sing. Sing a lot. They're tired of all this preaching in over an hour. You know us missionaries, we preach the everlasting gospel. So we'll give you some of that, too. But we're going to sing a song that speaks of the need of our world. You know all the statistics because you're Bible school students, and the burden for a lost world is upon your heart, or you would have never come to a Bible school to dedicate your life for ministry. So you know the statistics about the need of our world today. But just the fact that there are over 2 billion who have never once had a chance to hear the good news, that's enough to burden us as God's people. Let them know.
Little children begging for just a piece of bread, and oh, they are so hungry, they'd gladly take a little love instead. Broken homes and shattered dreams and fears. It's a lonely world they live in. Words of love they're waiting to hear.
Let them know, let them know. Tell them Jesus loves them so. Loves them so. Let
the answer that will change their life of fear and despair. Jesus is the answer. He's the one who really cares. Oh, and if we'll only tell them, a life of happiness and love can be theirs. Let them know. Loves them so much that to Calvary he would go. Let them know, let them know that they too can go to live forevermore with Jesus, to live
One of the things that I have just been thrilled about is the fact that at this point in life, God said, Spud, go to Africa. You know, these guys I used to room with here at CBC used to talk through the heaters and say, Africa. But he never did confirm that to my heart until recent years that he started burning within my heart with a desire to be involved in cross-cultural kinds of ministry. And a song that's very meaningful to me is the song, Why Have You Chosen Me Out of Millions, Your Child to Be? I want you to think about it. Think about the words. Think about how privileged you and I are to have been chosen by the Lord. Joy and I have had a lot of fun with this song. She smooths it out and I tear it up. But I sure like to sing with her. She's my oldest daughter, and she likes for me to tell everybody wherever I go that she's a college girl. She takes a class at Evangel College. So, anyway, Joy, it's fun to sing with you, and I'm glad the song has a message that is meaningful to me. Why have you chosen me?
Why have you chosen me out of millions, your child to be? You know all the wrong I have done. How could you pardon me? Forgive my iniquity. To save me, give Jesus your Son. Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Your word I will strive to obey. My life I now give, for you I will live and walk by your side.
I am
am amazed to know that a God so great could love me so, is willing and wanting to bless. His grace is so wonderful, His mercy so bountiful, I can't understand it, I confess.
But Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Your word I will strive to obey.
My life I now give, for you
has to be the one to tell them. Inside my room, I hear the people crying. They do not know, they do not understand. Beyond these walls, millions are slowly dying. They've never tasted fruit from Canaan's land. I'm just a child with dreams and hopes and visions. How can I go? Yet, Lord, how can I stay? So little time I've lessons to be learning, yet hearts are yearning to be shown the way. Inside my room, I hear the people crying. They will not know, they will not understand. The truth in you, the love they will find waiting, by placing all their sorrows at your feet. I'm just a child with dreams and hopes and visions. How can I go? Yet, Lord, how can I stay? So little time I've lessons to be learning, yet hearts are yearning to be shown the way. Inside my room, some other should be telling how well I know I've worthless words to say. But if you cannot find another willing, if you say go, I'll never ask to stay. I'm just a child with dreams and hopes and visions. How can I go? Yet, Lord, how can I stay? So little time, I've lessons to be learning, yet hearts are yearning to be shown
God is a beautiful and amazing thing. I used to think when I was a teenager that God's will would be something I wouldn't particularly want. I used to think that maybe God's eyesight would be poor and the girl he'd give me would be just one with a good personality. And I used to think that he'd call me into something that I didn't particularly want to do. But looking back at 22 fantastic years in the ministry since leaving this place, I thank God because he knows how to design life so much better than we could ever do it. If he would have given me the blank sheet, write out anything on it that will make you fulfilled in life, design it the best way you can, there's absolutely no way I could have come close to the way God has designed it. His will is a beautiful thing. I thank God for the girl he brought into my life at this school. And Joyce and I have enjoyed our stateside ministry together for these many years. And we're looking forward to ministry in the near future in Africa. I'd like to invite Joyce to come and share with you a little bit of how the Lord worked in her life to confirm this to her heart. You know, it's not just a decision of the fellow, you know, when you're going to Africa, halfway around the world to. It's a lovely land. Nairobi, Kenya, and the nation of Kenya is a lovely land, and the people are some of the most charming people you'll ever meet. But still, when you're used to a particular culture, when this is home, and to uproot your family and move halfway around the world to another culture, to another situation, that's no light, thoughtless kind of a decision. It's a heavy kind of decision that has to be made. You have to know it's God, and it has to be confirmed and oftentimes reconfirmed so that you really know that it's the right move. I'd like for Joyce to share with you in the next few minutes how the Lord worked on her behalf. It's good to share a woman's viewpoint. You need to hear it, okay? Joyce, come and share. By the way, I want to thank Todd and Casey for accompanying. Is it Todd?
Don.
I'm sorry, Don. I was trying to give him the name Casey Jones all night, but that's his wife. Anyway, they were so kind. You see, they were going out trick-or-treating tonight, but we begged them to come and accompany us, and they did. So I want to thank them. No, just joking. Joyce is going to share the call of God, how it relates to her life. I think you'll be very interested in hearing what she has to say.
It's hard to say all that the Lord has done with me the last few years, or the last 2 years even, in about 5 minutes' time. I've been through so many emotions, and so many ups and downs, and so many stages of surrender. When we finally decided to go to the mission field, it was only after months of prayer, of surrendering for me. We had taken an AIM team to Nairobi a year ago, last summer, and we have two of our AIMers here tonight, Roger and Cindy. They're a married byproduct of our AIM team. They met on this trip. And we're real proud of them. They're planning to go to the mission field themselves now. Anyway, it was after that trip that the Lord really began dealing with us about returning to Nairobi. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, after several months, said yes to the Lord, and we applied to the missions department and filled out the applications and took the tests, the psychological tests and the Bible tests and the language aptitude tests, and we sent out references, and they sent out references to our references, and all the things that you go through before they decide if you're fit to adjust on a field like this in a foreign culture. And from the time, it was about January, I guess, when we had filled out the application, I had a real peace about going and knew that that was what God wanted us to do. And then it came down time just a week before we were to meet with the committee, which is the final step. They lay out all your papers and all your reports and all the results of the test and decide if they want to invest all that money in you. And Spud said, well, they'll probably just want to make sure that we have a call to the field. And I thought, well, that's no problem. I know that we do. And then the Friday before that week, we met, had some early conferences with different people in foreign missions. And some things came up in those interviews that really began to upset me. And when we got home that night, I stewed and I mulled and I fretted and I got more and more upset because of some things that had come up that I hadn't expected. And the next day I told Spud, you know, I just don't know if we're doing the right thing or not. And he was getting ready to leave for services that weekend and left me in this upset state. And that night I was more miserable and more miserable because I knew that my feelings were wrong and that I was not really being submissive to the will of the Lord. But I've always been the kind who felt, the Lord knew how I felt anyway, so I may as well verbalize it. And I told him, look, this is the way I feel. And I don't know what you're going to do about it, but you sure got to help me. And the next morning when I went to church, before we went, I prayed, and I didn't pray it out loud, so no one heard me but the Holy Spirit. I was just desperate for peace from God about this, because it's a big step to leave two kids at home. We've got a son in college, and Joy will be in college when we go next year. And to leave two of your three kids behind at an age when they'll be graduating and getting married, and knowing that you probably won't attend their weddings. That was a big sacrifice for me. And to sell our home and our belongings and, you know, tear up your roots, it was big. It was a big decision. So I prayed before we went to church that morning, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen in church today, but I have to have a word from you. At the very words I prayed, I said, I've just got to know that this is what you want us to do. And when we went to church that morning, we had a guest speaker. This happened in Central Assembly last April, if any of you were there. Bernard Johnson was the guest speaker that morning. And when he came to the pulpit, he said, the Lord has made me change my sermon. I've got to preach something else, and this is what I'm going to preach. And he had us turn to Jeremiah 37, 15 through 17, and this was his text. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. That's the very words I'd prayed. And then he went on to preach a dynamic sermon about how the Lord has worked through his word in different people's lives. And at the end, he stopped. And then you know what a bombastic type of preacher he is. He just almost flew over the pulpit and bursting out with this word of knowledge that just spoke directly to me. When he started, it could have been anyone in the congregation, but the more he went on, I knew the Lord was speaking to me. It was the most beautiful thing because the Lord has never spoken to me like that before. But before he was through, I knew that God had confirmed every doubt that I'd had in every area that I had had problems with. He confirmed it. And when I went forward to pray in the prayer, I got the tape later and played it for Spud because I wanted him to hear what the Lord had said to me, and it was a beautiful affirmation to him. The Lord just really met my need. I just want you to know that I am not very special. I'm no more special in God's sight than you are. And when you have a need, or if you're seeking direction for your life, the Lord can meet you right where you are with all of your doubts and with all of your unhappiness and with all of your rebellion. Whatever your emotions are, you know, we love the Lord, but sometimes we're like little children saying, Lord, I just don't want to do that. Don't make me do that. But he can deal with you, and he can meet your need, and he can give you peace, and that's what he did for me. And now I eagerly look forward to going. I don't know how he's going to meet some of the needs that I have wondered about, but I know that he is. And we've had just beautiful, beautiful experiences since we have totally committed to the Lord. At our commissioning service this summer at School of Missions, the song was sung that Joy sang tonight, My House is Full, and I thought, Lord, that's me. We've been in Springfield now almost 9 years, and we've had a beautiful ministry here, really literally from coast to coast in youth camps and conventions and working with the young people. It's been so thrilling, and yet God in that word of knowledge promised us an even broader scope of ministry. And I don't understand how he's going to do it, but I'm just looking forward so much to seeing what he's going to do as we present ourselves as vessels to be used of him. I'm sure that you may have already met him, but we have a Kenyan here tonight in the congregation. We're just so happy to have gotten acquainted with him this week. I believe he's district superintendent in the Nairobi area, and he's visiting America for a few weeks, and it's just been our privilege to get acquainted with him, and we're looking forward to working with him and his people in just a few months. The Lord bless you.
Students, I thought you needed to hear that. There are often times when personally we need a word from God, right? When I was here, I needed several. And I thought that message of the Lord to Joyce, relieving her of a lot of the doubts and fears that were momentarily perplexing her, was something that needed to be shared with you, because you're going to have those places too. I know we have some current philosophies, you know, that we'll never have any tough places, but I have a hunch that that kind of philosophy will balance out with life. I really have a hunch it will. So I don't worry about those. I rejoice with them. Praise God. A portion of scripture that the Lord has really laid on me recently is found in John chapter 17. And I would like to just chat with you about it for a few minutes. See what it implies to you and me. To see what the Holy Spirit can do with our own thought processes. To see how he can develop this particular portion of scripture to us individually. There are some personal things he wants to talk to you and me about. He's been talking to me personally from this portion of scripture. And that's why I want to share it with you. John chapter 17, verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Obviously, it's Jesus talking to the Father. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for CBC. Thank you for every student here. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to the students in this student body. Thank you for the many, Lord, who are tremendously sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for those here tonight who may be struggling about what all the will of God entails regarding their life. Thank you, Lord, for them. And would you, O God, just communicate to our hearts through the Spirit, through the creativity, Lord, of your Spirit, will you take the word and apply it in all these different directions so that everybody can have a personal word from you, something that ministers to them individually. Now, Lord, I know that I don't have the ability to do that. Absolutely no way. With a very average IQ, there's absolutely no way, Lord, that I could think up things that would touch everybody in this building. It's only through your Spirit that you can do that kind of thing. So would you speak to us, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. It's obvious to us today that Jesus came into this world on a special mission. It's obvious that when he became the Son of Man, it was so that he could be a model for all to see, and that he should be a personal sacrifice so that we might have reconciliation with God, so that sinful man could have a way of joining up in favor with God. And it's only through Jesus, the Son of Man, that this could have been made possible, and it was made possible. At this point in the scripture, The disciples even saw that it was obvious that Jesus Christ was sent into the world on a special mission. It took them a while to understand that. They had to associate with him for quite a while, and still they would throw out dumb questions, and we could tell from the questions that they asked that they really didn't comprehend fully what the mission of Jesus Christ into the world was. But by this time, right before he offers his life is offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, they should realize that Jesus Christ was on a special mission in this world. That he was really not of this world. That he was of another kingdom, sent to this world for a specific, special purpose. By this time, the disciples, though a little dense, should have been able to realize his purpose in coming to the world. Now, Jesus is communicating with his Father. Father, I pray not that you should take them out of this world. It has problems. It has pressures. There's a terrific tendency for people to be conformed to the thought processes of the world, to the cultures of this world. There's such a tendency to allow the world to mold us instead of us affecting our world with the heavenly kingdom culture. The Lord knew all of this. But he did not pray at this point that his disciples should be taken out of the world, but they are here on a purpose. I pray not that they should be taken out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. All of the pressures of this earthly system, of this worldly system that would come to bear upon their lives as people within a worldly culture. Now, our culture affects us. I have a hunch that if you voted here that I could pretty well tell you how the vote turned out as it would relate to a presidential election. You can pretty well guess what our thought processes are like. When I was DCAP in Nebraska, I could tell you how certain little communities would think in that state. And their people thought the same way throughout the area. You could tell by the way the church was that their community thought this way. And it was all a cultural kinds of things. We are people of the world. The world does make its mark on our lives. We react certain way. We think certain ways because we are people of the world. And so our culture certainly comes to bear on our lives. And we become very much people of the world. Why is the Lord on this occasion say, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world? Why would Jesus Christ say that? With these people waking up every morning, running through the same routine that every other person in their community, whether they were ungodly or godly, some of the same routine, running through those things that were normal to living. They were running through the same kinds of routine in life that the others were. Why did he say you're not of this world? When they partook of food, which was obviously a worldly kind of thing, they clothed themselves in the garments that were made by the people of the world. It's obvious that the world had its effect on them. Why does he come out with such a statement as this when he's talking to the Father about his own disciples, saying they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world? We've sung the songs in chapel. We've sung them in our local churches. We know all the right words. We know all the right statements to say. But it's amazing how this world gets its grip on you and me. The Lord has really had to deal with my life on this because as a typical middle-aged man, there are certain things that I grasp for. The material things of this life interest me. I don't know if it's any greater in the middle years than it was when I was younger, but I think so. I think that there are certain things now that perhaps I would reach out for and I would strive for that perhaps when I was your age I would not. And so the Lord has had to deal with me about this, saying, Spud, would you get to the bottom line of the reason why I picked you out of sin and darkness? And he has to communicate to me
that I am not of this worldly system. It's important that I get it in my mind that I have been set apart by the call of God, by the striving of His Spirit with my heart, with the communication of God to my life. Spot, I have called you. And there's a specific purpose why I called you. There's a terrific temptation for me to allow at times 90% of my thought processes. I can catch myself for hours thinking about a certain kind of thing. Maybe it's an investment. Maybe it's some material kind of thing. But hours spent on that and little time spent on what God picked me out of darkness to do. There may be that tendency in the life of a student. And for that reason, I want to emphasize this terrific, dynamic statement spoken in a prayer to the Father by Jesus our Lord. When he was talking of his disciples saying, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. It's obvious to you and me, when we look back at 1900 years of history, that Jesus was sent on a mission. We can see his mission clearly. We study it in classes every day. We marvel at the plan God developed for the salvation of the souls of man. We rejoice because it took place. The mission of Christ to this world is something special to every one of us because we're his children. We know Jesus as our personal Savior. We have a keen relationship with him that means everything to us. It means life, literally life, to you and me, so we can see his mission. But when we check our own lifestyle, whether we be students or whether we have been in the ministry for 22 years, we still have to really listen closely when he says, hey, you are not of this world. So why don't you get your thought processes thinking as though you're a part of a heavenly kingdom? This is something that you and I must strive to do. It will save you a lot of guilt complexes. It will save you a lot of useless effort. If you can get fine-tuned to what the Lord said right here in this portion of Scripture and strive for those things on the other side where moth and rust cannot possibly corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. If you can get your thought processes going in that direction, then I guarantee you that God will use your life to touch souls wherever you go, and you will have a wealthy, eternal, or a healthy, eternal investment. If you will keep that in mind. If you allow our culture to control you, you guys are going to spend most of your time debating on whether you're going to go to this position, which pays me well, and it's perfectly all right. And our churches have responsibilities to do the best they can. I understand that. And somebody needs to preach to them. And it bothers me to no end sometimes when I get to some of these areas and they've mistreated their pastors and they've underpaid them when they could do better. All of that kind of thing bugs me too. But we can get our minds so much on that we totally forget that we're not of this world. And it can consume all of our thought processes and all of our time. And we will be thinking and groaning about all of these things when God has called us not to be a part of all of this kind of process. But we're kingdom people. We are not of this world. We are here just for a short time. And I'll tell you that the prime of a preacher is a very short span of time in the assemblies of God. I know, because when I left here, I went to a place and candidated, and they say, we want somebody with more experience. And then somebody had mercy on me, and I became their pastor. Then I have those that are very few years older than me, where they're beginning to say, well, you know, we want somebody younger. So your prime, gang, is a very short period of time. And if we concentrate on the things of this world, if we give all of our attention to that, then we're going to be frustrated at times in this life. The Lord wants to communicate to you and me that we have a higher purpose. And our purpose is the high calling of God, that we are not to be people that are a part of this world system. God has sanctified us through His truth. His word is truth. And He says, as Thou hast sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. This is your mission. You're sent out there into a corrupt culture. God calls you to go into that culture. All of its forces, all of the voices of this culture will be beckoning to your life. They will be calling to your life, seeking to bring you into subjection to your culture. But I want you to know that we're really of another culture. We have a calling of God. I have chosen you, He said, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I'm so encouraged when I see you. I'm thrilled by our movement. I rejoice when I travel from place to place and I see our youth. You're not just potential, gang. You're already dynamite. I thank God day by day. Some of the greatest investments I've ever made in my life do not yield 14.5% interest. They yield far greater than that because it's been investments in youth. And you're producing for the kingdom's sake far greater yields than that. And so I'm encouraged tonight by this opportunity just to chat with you. I just pray, gang, that you will always keep in mind that the Lord picked you out of sin and darkness for a purpose. You can clamor if you want to for the things of this world. You can accept all of those philosophies that tell you it's perfectly all right to spend 90% of your time thinking about that if you want to. But I have a hunch when you really get down to the bottom line of why God brought you into existence, you will have to realize that God brought you into existence so that He could bring you to the point where you would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and from that point on be a part of another culture so that you can communicate that culture to your world. And if we can follow through on doing that for which we've been brought into the kingdom to do, then our life has to be successful. And when we get on the other side, you talking about a reward, we will have it because our investments have been wholesome. And they've been godly investments because we have not been conforming to the cultures of our world, but to the culture of His heavenly kingdom. The Lord called you and me to go into all the world as His kingdom people and preach the gospel to every creature. He has some special callings for many of you. He knows that you can adapt to cultures that I could never adapt to. And so He's got some challenging assignments in His will for you. Why did the Lord say go? Why did He call His people to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody? This God who has all of this wisdom and knowledge, why couldn't He develop some media presentation from the sky and just do it once and for all for the whole world? He could do that perfectly within the ability of our God. And all of the other kinds of means that are available to us today, is it necessary really for us to go? With satellite TV now coming into play and with the ability of people all over the world with the literacy rate climbing, isn't it all right maybe if God could just communicate through the printed page to everybody? Why does he talk to His people and tell them to go in a day like this, in an age when we have all these other things at our fingertips? Is it still necessary? Is it legitimate to go in a day like this? I would say, yeah, it is. Because going is God's way of communication. You know, it's just more than a black and white print on a page. It's more than a face on a flat screen that the Lord wants to communicate to the world. It's more than that. You see, when God sought to speak to humanity, we notice that he sent his own son. He could have handled it perhaps some other way, but there was not a method better than this one. He chose to communicate to humanity by sending his own son, that living, breathing, walking person, that son of man, to send him into this world. One who could bring heaven within reach. Perhaps that's the reason why God says to you and me, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to be his presence so that others may know. He wants us to be a visible reminder wherever we go in our world. An embassy is a corps of diplomats that's known as a foreign presence. They represent another government, and it's a relationship with that government. So I suppose, in a sense, that that's one of the reasons why God says for us to go, so that we can be a foreign presence there. We're another culture from a heavenly culture. We're there representing that. God's presence, so that others may know, to give people an opportunity to know God. They can get to know us, and hopefully through us they can know our God. That's the reason why Jesus was sent into this world. After a while, some were questioning and wondering about God, and Jesus said, well, have I been so long with you and you not known him? What's that communicate to you and me? God sends us as a presence so that people can know God, because we have that kind of relationship, that kind of relationship with our God. Perhaps the majority will never accept our message, but at least if they have seen and observed us, they know that they have had an opportunity to know God, if they've really known one of the people of God closely. And it's also a sign. We're sent as a sign. We are representatives of Christ's cause, and we're a rebuke to godlessness when we're sent out into our world. And this is another reason why God says, go. It's a rebuke to the godlessness of our world when we go out into our world. He also sends us to live an example so others may see. We give to them a lifestyle message. Oh, what are we communicating to our world? This is the thing that's been troubling me. This is the thing that I've been struggling with so much. This is the thing that Joyce and I had to wrestle with. This thing that affects our lifestyle, it is a different lifestyle that we will be involved in. Christianity is a way of life, and it must be seen to be followed. We must model the message wherever we go, so it affects our lifestyle, and we have to be careful with this. That's the reason why those words, you are not of this world, are so important for us to hear tonight. We live so that others may see. They may see a message through our lifestyle. They may see a challenge. Those who do not choose to believe the preached word cannot deny the fact of a spirit-filled example that they've been able to observe. An example challenges the skeptics to re-examine their message when they see an example of a lifestyle of godliness. They have to re-examine their message when they really observe it. And of course, we go to live an example so that others may see and be encouraged. We give encouragement to those who seek to follow Christ. They find strength in an example of the sent one. Another reason why God says go into all the world is so that we can convey a touch. I'm so glad that Jesus was sent to the world and that he wasn't standoffish. No, he came into this world and he was so warm. He touched people wherever he went. He touched them. That's what I like about Kenyans. They're so warm. Oh, they say, come into our house. They want you to come in. They're hospitable. And it's no great chore for me to go there, because because they're so warm. Well, God wants my life to be that way. He wants my life to be warm and touch people through the way that we live, to convey a touch. That's why God sent His Son in this world, so that others may feel. They may feel an expression of concern which comes to Him. Many people in this world are starving emotionally, and they're starving spiritually for a caring touch. If someone only cared, if they cared enough to come to me and touch me. Infants aren't the only ones who fail to thrive when they're deprived of physical contact. So do we. We're deprived if someone doesn't touch us. And so I have a hunch that's another reason why God says, go into all the world. Go out there and touch them. Don't be standoffish. His call is upon you. Touch people. Let them know you care, so that we can also be a vehicle of healing. The laying on of hands is included in the healing prayer and the Word of God. Healing as well as concern is communicated by a physical touch. And He calls us to a ministry of love. The nearness of a Christian witness, touching the lives of others with compassion and mercy. It becomes the conveyor of divine life and love to people. So God says to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This call is upon you and me, so that we can go and be a presence, so that others may know. So that we can go and live an example, so that others may see. So that we can go and convey a touch, so that others may feel. God calls us. Go into all your world and preach this gospel to every creature. CBC, yours is a special heritage. Yours is a high calling. People who come out of this school are respected all throughout our movement. So you mustn't take what you're doing now lightly. Would you realize the sobering responsibility you have? You have a responsibility to a movement as well as to a world. Our people are top of the line. And I've been throughout this country to see them and preach to them and be in their homes and in their churches. And what a beautiful bunch of people we have in our movement. In various other places of our world, I've been able to go and share the gospel and visit with the people. Oh, listen, yours is a rich heritage, and that's what God is preparing you for. You're going to get out there into this, and you're going to be touching people and influencing their lives. Would you always keep in mind that the bottom line of your spiritual existence is that you are not of this world? God called you to represent another kingdom and culture. This world is not my home. You know that old song, don't you? This world is not my resting place. This world is not the place where I'm to strive and spend all of my time thinking about how I can get the best out of the land. He'll take care of you. He said He would, okay? Just rely on Him to do that instead of spending all your time on the material things of this world. I challenge you to do that, because you do represent another culture and kingdom to our world. God called you and me to that. I'd like for you to stand, if you would, at this time. I want to pray for you. The message, as simple as it can be, just a little chat from my heart to yours, but I hope you're hearing what the Spirit has to say. This isn't just another day in our lives and nothing significant happens. No, the Lord wants to tune into our hearts tonight and say, hey, are you listening? This is something for you. This is something that's to affect your life. It doesn't have to be done through a vision or a dream or anything super special such as that. No,
just a simple statement out of the scripture of words that Jesus is praying to his Father. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And it's spoken to you tonight, even as it was of the disciples back in that day. Let's pray. Let's open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Father, would you, through the remarkable ability of the Holy Spirit, indelibly impress upon our heart tonight, Lord, this message. Father, you can eloquently communicate it. You can send the minds of these youth racing with thoughts of how it applies to them personally. Do that, oh Father, I ask. Do that, for that's the real way the message comes. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, that's the way we understand, Lord. Through the preciousness of the Holy Spirit. Speak loud and clear, O God, to some of those who tonight are struggling about the call of God upon their life. They've been going through days of distress. They're perplexed. They're torn. Maybe, O God, they've experienced a life a whole lot easier earlier, and now in the middle of all this school business, and it's terrific pressure. Maybe, oh God, their minds are filled with questions and doubts have arisen. Lord, sound through to their heart loud and clear tonight. Oh, hold them, oh God. Touch them again. Oh, Jesus, spark within their heart that new commitment and new desire, oh Lord, to invest their life in the things that really count for all eternity. Oh, God, communicate that to us. Lord, final exams, grade points. Lord, that bothers us. That's worldly, Lord. But it's reality here. Jesus, through all that, communicate the basics to us tonight, oh God. Help us to keep that clear. Help us to keep it clear. Oh God, do it. Father, I bind the spirit of this age that tries to get its grip on these youth, on the authority of Jesus' name. Oh, God, I pray for our dear faculty of this school. I pray for our administration. Lord, I thank you for them. I'm proud of them. So many, oh, God, I know so well. Devout, deeply dedicated people. They've sacrificed. Many of them sacrificed for years because they know what the bottom line is. Lord, though I wish for them a whole lot better than 7% increases, someday, Lord, you're going to take care of that. Hallelujah. And the young lives that they've touched that have in turn touched millions. You'll register it on their account, Lord, and they'll say, thank you, Jesus. The bonus is better than I deserve. Hallelujah. Help us to see that way again, Lord. Help us to see that clearly. Oh, God, help us.
In te rasa Fellowship, fantastic, Lord. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Students, maybe you'd like to just move to these altars and seek God. Why don't you do that? If you can spend some time in God's presence, He wants to communicate to you, okay? And then you communicate to Him your response to what He has to say to your heart, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.